Good, okay. Well, good morning. It's good to be together, hey? That's good. I just had a real, that's a beautiful time of worship. Is there gifts happening here or something? just you, maybe? And, oh, man, it's good. It's good to be together. So, that's awesome. Make sure that you do fill out the survey, even if you've only been here once, or actually, as you talk to friends downstairs, they need to fill it out too. Because it's not just about the upstairs gathering, it's the whole community and what we do up here impacts downstairs. And so even if people haven't been here, you can still fill it up. So it's all fun. Good, but we are going to talk this morning about transformation. And specifically, we're gonna look at it's all sort of background information, or not background information. It's background vision to some of the information that's contained in this little handbook right here, which is the outer circle. How many people are a part of the outer circle? Just put your hand up. Just curious. This year, I don't. Okay, so that's a number of us, maybe 20%, 25%. But the outer circle is really it's just a process for discipleship, is what it is. A process to see growth. And growth and encouragement come to the body. And that's really, in very simple forms, that's what it is. And try to make a bit of the structure, not too much to be legalistic, but enough to give it some teeth. Like I had the picture last night as I was thinking about this, like we want to eat meat, right? Like we want to go from milk to meat. Well, to eat meat, you need teeth. And so this has a little kind of, I wouldn't call them carnivorous teeth or like saber-toothed tiger outer circle. It doesn't have that kind of teeth, but it does have a little bit of teeth, you know, like some baby teeth there, and just to help us along. And so we want to try to take a step back this morning, both upstairs and downstairs, and explore why we're doing that. And like, what is it that we believe God's called us to? And that has to do with transformation. And I suppose if I fall over, that's going to be even more distracting to you, Chloe, isn't it? But Christina, could you come? Could you come? That'd be great. And I asked Christina, because at our last gathering, here, we're just going to grab this. I asked, we're going to do a dance, we're going to skip. Awesome. And We're just kind of wrapping up the year. It's a yearly process, a yearly rhythm. At the beginning of the year, anybody can join. So that's why we're talking about it now, is that it's a wide open process. Anybody can join as long as you follow the process. And so it's a time, this is the time to figure out how, you know, to discern God's invitation to you. How might he be wanting or inviting you to grow in this coming year, for the year of the outer circle. That sounded like a Chinese, the year of the outer circle. This is the year of the ox or something, but the year of the muskox. Every year is the year of the outer circle for us, the year of the muskox. Anyhow, and we were wrapping up, and I just asked if anybody would like to share what's happened for them this year as a result of going through this process with a few friends. And Christina shared. So I invited her, or asked her to share a little bit this morning. So. What do you have for us?
You asked me yesterday.
I asked you yesterday.
So I was not expecting this. Okay, so basically the gist of what I had talked about was the idea that Outer Circle assisted in changing my life, really, because last year I was a very broken person, but I was really looking for ways in which I could give back to the Lord, and because I was in a place of brokenness, I didn't know what I had to offer. And so therefore, how could you give anything if you don't have anything, right? And so basically, the outer circle really helped me identify some of the strengths, because you have to identify three: grace received and grace needed. So like strengths and weaknesses is how I took that. And initially, I didn't have any strengths. And so it was, in fact, my triad who helped me identify positive things in myself. And so that was the beginning of this wonderful journey that I was on this past year. And so the idea of Outer Circle, I know the word accountability can sound really negative to people, but for me that's kind of what I needed, because when I did my grace needed It was a plan of action. So because I knew that I was going to meet with my triad once a month, I wanted to have something to talk about. And so therefore, I was more driven to actually accomplish something. For instance, one of my goals was to be more involved in the church. And so Outer Circle was one way to do that. And then I ended up doing drop-in. And so then it just kind of was like this snowball effect. Also, Outer Circle keeps you intentional because you are kind of held accountable. Like, there's no reprimand for you didn't do this or you did do that. But it just made me be more intentional on my goals that I wanted to set and the way that I wanted to grow and serve more for the Lord. And so therefore, I held my commitments because I didn't want to say that I didn't do anything. I also talked about that night the gifts. The gift that I've been given the most this year is love. And I had no idea that you could contain as much love as I have been given. And I think...
How have you been given love this year?
How have I been given love? Well, this just people have surrounded me in this way that I never expected. And I've been coming to the vineyard for a while and never actually felt part of the vineyard. Because I kind of kept myself on the outskirts. And I think the beginning of the Outer Circle was like my first step into knowing more people. And then, so I was shown actual examples of love from people, but also just this incredible feeling that's inside my heart now. Sometimes I just feel like I'm going to explode. So it's a really...
Please don't.
No, but it will all be love though. It's a nice explosion. Thanks to my triad, I was able to identify strengths, and then I built on those, and then I was held intentional, and then it was just carried on throughout the year. And I'm looking really forward to doing it again. And I was speaking with a friend how I can't even imagine what is going to happen to me this year because so much happened this past year that I can only, you know, I can't even fathom what else he's going to do in me, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. So you said that you didn't have any strengths, but that your triad, which, by the way, that's just sort of lingo for two or three other people that you meet together regularly with.
Yeah.
So triad, it can be two, three, or four people in our redefining the word triad. but they helped you. How did they help you find strengths? That's
Well, the example that stands out in my mind is when I said I want to start serving, I started with drop-in first. And so one of my members actually would come to drop-in, and she just pointed out that, you know, I think what she said is, wow, I can't believe how you can just talk to people. Like, you just go up to them, and you smile, and you make them feel welcome, and that is something that I had never seen in myself. So she really pointed out that I had this welcoming love inside that I never identified.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can we ask them if they have any questions for you?
Absolutely.
Do you have any questions for her? Maybe after. Awesome. Thank you, Christina. Let's
You're welcome.
Cool. That's always fun. I've been doing it for a number of years, just kind of in, actually three, I think, we've done it, maybe two, in this kind of form. But it's been really helpful, and I hope you picked up what Christina said there, is that it's not just about areas that you need to grow. And we call them grace needed, because we just are recognizing that everything that we have, everything that we are, and everything that we hope to be, it's all God's grace. It's built on God's grace and His mercy, right? So, and so areas that we need grace, areas that we need to grow, that's awesome, and we need to be intentional and specific and like spirit-filled methodicism, methodical about, you know, like how we grow, be intentional about it, but also not just that. How have we already received grace? What are our strengths in all the different areas that we've kind of laid out in different ways in our core practices? But really sitting and marinating in God's pleasure, in how he's built strength into you. It's an amazing thing, and it can change you. It actually changes you. And being intentional and kind of and not doing our Canadian kind of, oh, that's nice, but what do I need to grow, you know? No, actually sit with there, you know? And it's like me like discovering this Métis heritage that I'm, you know, exploring. It's changing me, knowing who I am. And it changes us when we know our strengths and our gifts that we've been, you know, that God's put in by his grace, but put into us and worked into us. And that's an amazing thing, is you sit over a whole course of the year with a few people, some friends, and talk about that. And sometimes they see things a little differently, hey, and they can see those strengths that are in you. So anyhow, if this is at all encouraging, or if you'd like something like that, I encourage you to check out this little Outer Circle manual, little handbook. I'll just leave them right there. You can do that. And there's more downstairs as well. Okay, but why are we doing this? Well, it's about transformation. In Advent, we remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was overcome by the Holy Spirit, like we read about this morning. Overcome by the Holy Spirit, and in the wake of this encounter, she found herself pregnant. She found herself impregnated by the Holy Spirit. That's a once-in-a-creation thing, isn't it? Found herself nourishing God inside her womb. It's an incredible, incredible thing that every year blows me away, and we find new ways to talk about it. But somehow her DNA, her human, you know, Middle Eastern Hebrew DNA was combining with God's DNA. And they were coming together as a deep, amazing mystery about this. And she gave birth to Jesus, who was both fully human and fully God. And Mary is an amazing example, I think, of being a site for transformation. If we're talking about transformation. She was a site for transformation. She made room for transformation to occur. And Mary, like every single other mother that has ever lived or ever will live, has to wrestle with this, right? I've watched my own wife wrestle with this one for three kids, you know? And every single person that is a mother wrestles with this about making room and emptying themselves and creating a space for something to be formed and for their body to be transformed, to make a housing for this new life that's happening. So just as Mary nourished God in her womb, we want to nourish God in our beings, okay? Just like Mary nourished Jesus inside of her body, made room, emptied herself for Jesus in her own self, we also want to model after Mary and make room in our lives, in our beings, who we are, for God to work himself into us, to allow God to help us to look like Jesus, as 1 John 4 says, or as Paul says in the Galatians, to have Christ formed in us. And just as Mary birthed one who would transform the world through love, so we here want to birth a love into our lives that will bring transformation through our words and deeds. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and we're going to explore what that looks like a little bit more. Okay, and I hope this morning actually we're going to end by celebrating communion and having a real specific ministry time together. But I encourage you as we read, think about for yourselves, what are the barriers? For, like, we're sitting here, as was already noticed, in an empty art gallery. I think it's kind of a neat thing. Sometimes God just plans stuff, you know? And this whole process of transformation really requires an emptying of ourselves. An emptying of the barriers that resist transformation. We've all been impregnated by the world, right? But we want to be impregnated by God and have His Spirit fill us and have His Spirit transform us so that we look like Jesus, as John says, or until we have Christ formed in us. Or as Paul says in Romans 12, to transform us. So be thinking about that. And maybe you can share something if you have barriers. And certainly, if you have barriers to transformation, we want to pray for each other. And so that's what we're gonna, that's how we're gonna end off this morning, just to give you a lay of the land. Good. So Romans 12. Can you turn there? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You might not have to turn there if you've been around the Bible or been around church for any period of time. This is a really popular, well-used verse for good reason. Two verses. I'm going to actually read from Romans, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to read from Galatians, but we're going to mostly primarily meditate on Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Other translations use will say, don't be, what's the words used there?
Conformed.
Conformed, right. That's kind of the primary one. Is there others? In any other translations out there?
Well adjusted.
Don't be well adjusted to this world. Yes, be maladjusted. It's good, I like that. What's that, the message?
Yes.
That's Eugene Peterson. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But let God transform you, or be transformed, yours, right? Into a new person by changing the way you think, or by renewing your mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So don't be conformed, be transformed. That's the basic message there. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit. And whenever the Spirit of the, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious being. Makes us more and more like Him. Galatians 4:19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. You catching what's going on? You catching some of the themes between these? This idea of being transformed. This idea of making us more and more like Jesus. This idea in Paul in Galatians of until Christ is formed in you. There's a formation that's happening when you follow Jesus. And when you empty yourself to Him. And that's a continual emptying of ourselves. There's a formation that happens. And it's about being transformed into the image of Christ. Which is what Christians mean, right? I don't know if you knew that, but little Christs. They were running around and in, I think it was it Antioch? Where they were first named? Yeah. And this was well after Jesus. But they were like, hey, they look like little Christs. Little Christians. They do and they look and they act like they're like little copies of Jesus Himself. And so they said, they're little Christians. And it was kind of a derogatory thing. But Christian, that's where the word came from. And so they looked like Him. And that's what every follower of Jesus is invited. And that's the process, a deep spirit, internal process that transforms us into looking like Him. And it comes out. Now, the interesting thing between, if we contrast these two words, conform and transform. I think a helpful picture of this. There's probably lots of helpful pictures, but when I think of conform, it's something that happens from the outside, right? So in your don't be, what was it again? Bryn, your translation that said?
Oh, well adjusted.
Don't be well adjusted. So it's the outside telling the inside how to act and do and be, right? It's something that happens externally. Versus transformation is something that happens internally. And the movement is from inside to outside. In conformation, the movement is from outside to inside, right? So it's kind of like a seed, if you were to think of a seed, a good, healthy bean seed, let's say. Anyone have a seed in their pocket? You don't have any? No? Oh, man. We were looking for lighters this morning, too, and we couldn't find any lighters. Like, there's no lighters in anybody's pockets? No seeds either, my goodness! Anyways, think of a nice, healthy bean seed, right? And what happens when you put it into the ground, if it's in a good ground, and well watered and everything? Almost?
I might have seeds.
You might? Okay.
I'll eat another one.
in the orange, it says. There might be seeds in the orange. If you could, sure. Okay, so let's pretend this is a seed. Stick it in the ground, and it becomes, it doesn't take on the characteristics of the soil. It transforms the characteristics of the soil and sprouts, right? And becomes an orange tree in Manitoba. But if that seed were to be conformed to the environment around us, what would happen? It would rot, exactly. It would take on the nature and character and quality of the soil around it, and it would rot, right? That's it. I think that's a helpful, thank you. Oh, it's a, yeah. Okay, well, thanks for talking. But Paul is saying here in this passage to be transformed, not conformed. So to be planted in good soil is to then allow the what's inside to be birthed into something beautiful, right? Into what you're created to be. Versus being conformed or well adjusted to the world around us, or in my version here it said, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. So there's something internal that happens and in this process of transformation. Don't be conformed to the world. But a few chapters earlier, Paul says, be conformed. He uses that same word. Be conformed to the image of his son. Chapter 8, verse 29. Conform to the image of his son. So there's something good to the external part is not necessarily bad. It just depends where you are. If you're a seed planted in the bad soil, you don't want to rot there. If you're a seed planted in good soil, it'll sprout and you'll transform and you'll be able to, you'll take on some of the characteristics of the soil, but you'll transform it. And that word transform, which is the reason I read from 2 Corinthians, is it's the same word, transformed, and become more and more like him. That's what my version said anyways. Yours probably will say transformed or other kind of versions like that, but metamorphosis is the root for that, right? Metamorphosis. It's used twice in the New Testament, both in those places. To metamorphosize, you know? To be transformed like a caterpillar into a butterfly, you know? In that, it's an internal process that happens. And it changes us. It changes us. And this is what happened with Mary. She created a space. She kind of agreed. You notice that the angel said, we're going to do this. And she it seems as though she had an opportunity to say no. Right? She agreed. She said yes. And she made room in herself. She emptied herself and made room or made space for this metamorphosis, this transformation to happen. And that's what that's what every Christian, every follower of Jesus is invited to do. Now, as I said earlier, there's things that have to come together for this to happen. There are barriers that we have to identify. And so what I want to do for the rest of our time is just label, kind of name a few things that need to come together, the right ingredients for it to happen. So the first one I would say is God's will and our willingness. Both of those things have to come together for transformation to happen. God's will and our own willingness. So it's not simply about us, and this remember, this is all kind of applying to the outer circle too. But it's not just about us working like and scrambling and trying to put ourselves in situations where change will happen. It's not just about our own efforts. Right? It's not just about our own efforts. It's not about us working to bring change into our lives. And conversely, the opposite is also true. It's not just about us waiting for God to snap his fingers or waiting for someone to, you know, call you out on a prophetic word or something for your life to change, right? I mean, both of those things happen. We do work. We are diligent. And also, God works. And he is diligent. And he is faithful, like we prayed in pre-service prayer 9:15 to 9:45 this morning, every morning on Sundays. So words come out. The faithfulness of God. He's faithful. And it's both God's will and our willingness in cooperation. The angel came to Gabriel. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. It was God's will and Mary's will combining together to create a site for transformation. Same in our lives. God's will and our willingness. It's an intricate working together. God's will and human willingness. That's the environment where transformation happens. I'm just going to read you a little quote from C.S. Lewis out of Mere Christianity. Actually, it was just in yesterday's. There's some Every Day with C.S. Lewis newsletter thing that goes out. And so they have a little quote and then a little talking about the quote. So I'm just going to read you the whole thing. This is what was yesterday's. And now we begin to see what it is the New Testament is always talking about. C.S. Lewis talking. It talks about Christians being, quote, born again. It talks about them, quote, putting on Christ. About Christ, quote, being formed in us. About our coming to have the mind of Christ. Like what we just read from all three of our scriptures. Right? And this is what the commentator says, or this person that puts together this. Put right out of your head the idea that these are only fancy ways of saying that Christians are to read what Christ said and to carry it out. As if a man could read Plato or Marx and what he said and then carry it out. They mean something much more than that. They mean that a real person, Christ, here and now, in the very room where you are praying your prayers, is doing things in you. He's doing stuff in you. It's not a question of a good man who died 2,000 years ago. It's a living man, still as much a man as you, and as you men here. This person didn't write it so inclusively. And still as much God as he was when he created the world, really coming and interfering with your very self. Killing the old natural self in you and replacing it with the kind of self he has. At first, only for moments, then longer periods. Finally, if all goes well, turning you permanently into a different sort of thing. A new little Christ. A being which, in its own small way, has the same kind of life as God. Which shares in his power, joy, knowledge, and eternity. The site of transformation, God's will and our will working together. You following so far? What do you think about that? Let's just pause here.
It can be a scary thing as well.
It could be a scary thing. Which part?
Oh, something inside of
you. Right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, sure. What is it? Aliens. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Opening yourself up to something else. To someone else.
It's a relinquishing of control, too.
It's relinquishing of control, yeah. Yeah, good.
I think it really speaks to how radical the messages, when especially when it draws on Marx and says, you know, somebody who's typically whose thoughts are typically thought to lead to action, right? And then saying Christ's message is even the next level of action. This is transformation. It's not like it's beyond worldly action.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Plato, he comments on Plato too, right? Which is much more. So Marx thought, I mean, it's coming out of thought, right? But it's, yeah. And then Plato much more the mental part of it. But it's not either of that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Was someone saying something over here? Right here?
I was just agreeing with you. How they're totally intertwined.
Mm. Cool. Spontaneous and systematic. That's next thought. To be sites of transformation, we need to both have a sense of spontaneity and systematicness. Methodism, as you could say, or methodological. You know what I mean, right? Yeah, what's that? And this is an interesting one. I remember, I grew up in a Baptist church. Well, way back, like my folks became Christians and they were a part of the United Church, and then they went to a, kind of a really crazy charismatic church for a few while, and then kind of fell off, things fell apart there, and then kind of landed in a Baptist church, you know, just and for a while it was just my mom and me going to church, and then my dad kind of came around. And so I grew up in a Baptist church, and which is great. We did Awana and all the just knew lots of scripture and it was really good foundational, right? He was also a pastor. He'd become a pastor, and in a small town in central Alberta, Stettler, Alberta, and there was this new church in Red Deer, which was 45 minutes directly west of us. And which was nothing to drive for us growing up in rural, you know, like we would literally drive to Red Deer to go to Tim Hortons to get a Boston cream donut. That's not an exaggeration. We did that. 45 minutes one way, pick up a donut and then come home. Like that was what we did for fun, right? We did other things for fun too, but I won't mention. But there was this new church, right? And it was like a big hopping kind of really crazy church, and it was something completely, it was so outside of my realm of what I had grown up with, except for really far back, but I had just a few memories of that. And I remember going to this place, and just, it was complete and utter chaos. It was absolutely out of control, and I couldn't, but there was something actually really engaging for me, and I remember actually kind of going a few times, and then I ended up in another church that was kind of similar, and and it was in northern BC, and it was kind of chaotic, and people were doing things that I had no idea what was going on, and didn't seem like anybody was in control, probably because nobody was, everyone was just, and so I just thought I would, and me and my friends, we were there. And I just stood up right in the front row. I don't know why I took the front row. And ever since then, I've hated front rows, actually, in churches. But and you'll understand why in a second. Took the front row. I just thought, I'm just going to stand here and close my eyes. Like, just block everything out and just focus on Jesus, you know? And worship, and it's all kind of, everything is swirling around. And then it kind of dies down, and I'm still focusing on Jesus. And then I hear the someone, whoever was there, says, "You may be seated now." And then I opened my eyes, and everybody else had taken their seats except me, standing in the front row, like staunchly sitting there, you know. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" And I sat down. And ever since then, I've hated front rows of churches. Until recently, I've dealt with that. But there's this. There was something about the spontaneity that really attracted me in those environments. And never mind being. At that same place, there's this huge logger guy. Like, he was literally a logger. Like, I'm a lumberjack. He was a lumberjack. And he he wanted to do one of these, this is going off. Anyways, he wanted to do one of these running around the circles dances, you know? But I don't know if you know what I mean. But, and so he was like, and no, you don't fight with a lumberjack, right? And he would yank people out of their seats and dislocate shoulders, and I just felt my arm just kind of whoop, and, you know, he flung around in this sort of craziness. Anyways, spontaneity and systematic. We need to be spontaneous. And there was something about those experiences for me that really resonated out of my coming from quite a systematic kind of place. It was zero spontaneity in the church where I grew up in. There was lots of beautiful things about it, but spontaneous was not one of them. And so there's something about being a site of transformation, a place, a person that is welcoming of God's inner moving, that you need to be both systematic, intentional, like you use, Christina, that word. And that's a great word. That's a word we use all the time in the other circle. But also, to be spontaneous, and to be, that doesn't mean just be crazy for the sake of being crazy. It means being open to the Spirit speaking and moving and changing you when the time is right. And sometimes we just don't know the time. There's both of those things, spontaneous and systematic. It's kind of like a river that every now and then needs to jump its banks, right? And kind of cut off a whole section that it just doesn't need to travel anymore. And it can jump its banks, but you still have the river banks, right? It's just the intentionality parts. But every now and then, the Spirit just does what he wants to do. And so let's be open to that. And that's an invitation to us, to both working with God's will, but also being diligent with what he's called us to do and how the ways that he's invited us to grow. Proverbs has a lot to say about the diligence, right? That makes sense? Okay. Action and reflection, I think, is something else that needs to come together. Action and reflection. A lot of us, who knows people that are just busy all the time? Or are you busy all the time? Right? Like people that is just, like, it's always action, 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 action. And then, you know, like, I know someone, she literally says, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That she said that, actually. This is like actually a mentor. What's that? Oh, yeah, okay, there you go. So there's some beauty to that, right? Like, stuff gets done around those kind of people, right? Like, stuff happens. It's really good. But if you are always action, 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 and never reflect, what's going to happen? What happens, Chris? You make the same mistakes over and over again. The good thing is you make the same good choices over and over again. But if you are making mistakes, if you've gone off a little bit, you'll never have that chance to kind of get corrected, right? And so reflection. On the other side of it, how many of us know people that are reflect, reflect, reflect all the time? Think about, process, process. And never get anything done. Never do anything, right? Right? Do we know people like that? Are you a person like that? Action and reflection. They have to go together. And so in this process of the outer circle, that's what we're inviting is, what are the ways that God's called us to grow, and what are the ways in which we have strength that we can rest in and kind of live out of those places and have God display those. Let's think about those things. Let's reflect on how he's calling us to grow. Becky's doing her thesis right now, and a lot of it's the primary part is about reflective practice. And it's transforming, not her thesis, but this idea of reflective practice is really transforming the medical field, because doctors and nurses and midwives and different people in the medical field, they need to learn from their mistakes. How do you learn from your mistakes? You reflect on your action. You reflect on what you've done, right? And if you don't do the reflection, you're not going to get better. You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be transformed. Action, reflection. What do you think about that? Just throw that out there.
You know what it reminds me of, Eddie?
Sorry.
When Natasha was talking about front hair, back hair.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, if you have this idea of like, that was a really good image for me. But like in the backyard with your fence and your place of solitude and reflection and stuff, you can go like figure out how to be in the front yard, you know, and in your front yard, sort of be what kind of happens, the reflection that you're doing and the praying that you're doing and sort of what's going on when you have to, when you go to the bathroom, you know, and who, which are, like, people will tend probably, you know, I think there's very few people who are really good at being in the middle without thought of actually reflecting or front yard and back yard. And so it's kind of like figuring out which one you sort of tend towards and reflecting or acting accordingly.
That's a really good point. We need to know our tendencies, don't we? Yeah. One other thought, then we'll celebrate communion and kind of do ministry time together. There's this idea, and I'm not exactly sure if these are the best words to describe it, but delight and doable change. These two things coming together to be sites of transformation, for transformation to occur. Delight and doable change. And for me, this kind of, as far as the delight portion, knowing God's delight, this happened for me, like, it was actually one of my outer circle plans for this past year to grow in prayer ministry. That was one of the things that I had sensed that God was inviting me to grow in. And so then, of course, it's one thing to know what your invitation is or what you think you need to grow in or what the kind of that combination that seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. So however that works. It's one thing to know that, but then it's another thing to actually, what are you going to do, right? Good intentions kind of translating into the next thing. And so you make a plan. And so for my plan was sort of in a roundabout way, was to do the Father Heart School that happened in, whatever that was, June, early June. And for me, like, lots of things happened, good and positive, and some negative too, but one of the things was kind of bringing me back, personally, bringing me back to the sense of God's delight in me. Like, as a son of his, who he loves, and just, you know, wants to pour into. And kind of working from that place is totally different than working from a place of, I need to get stuff done, right? And so praying for people in prayer ministry, that's the whole reason. Praying for someone because I need to pray for people because God needs to show up and heal them or transform them, that's one thing. But praying for someone as someone that has experienced his love and transforming power and in very real and tangible ways, it just kind of, it comes out. And then you're praying for other people, it takes on a different, I don't know, something different about it. I don't know if you know what I mean, but like, I'm not sure exactly how to explain that. But it's kind of like, think about it like bringing direction or correction versus, like, slaves need direction and correction, right? They need to be told what to do and how to do it and when to do it, that kind of thing, right? But if you're living as a son, which was the kind of the theme of that week, or as a child of God, then, yeah, you need some correction and direction. But if that's all you're getting, or if that's all you're ever looking for from God, you're kind of living a little bit like a slave. Like, tell me what to do next. What did I do wrong? Correct me here, direct me there, right? Whereas really sensing and putting yourself in a place where you can experience God's love is a totally different thing. So this idea of delight and doable change, like, holding those two things together, experiencing God's love, experiencing his pleasure, experiencing his affirmation for you, but also what are the ways that the doable change that you can bring to your life, that you can open yourself up to God transforming you from the inside out. That one was a little more unclear, wasn't it? I'm sensing. Anyhow. So let me just review, and then we'll celebrate communion and pray together, pray for each other. So being sites of transformation, being like Mary, using her as our model of emptying herself, a number of things need to come together. And I've just explained a few of them, but there's lots of others too. But God's willingness, God's will, and our willingness coming together, working in cooperation together, getting a sense of that. This idea of being both spontaneous and systematic, being open to God throwing us loopers, but also making plans and following through, diligence, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've kind of sensed this sometimes, that some people think that being filled by the Holy Spirit means you never plan anything. Right? And that's just kind of ridiculous, actually. Let's just put that one aside, okay? It's not, right? Spontaneous ancestors, both of those things coming together. Planning, but also being open to the Spirit. And being open to being to changing your plans, right? Letting the river jump the banks if it needs to. Create a new path. Action and reflection. Doing both of those things together, hand in hand. Being aware of our tendencies for one or the other. And then delight in doable change. So, what needs to come together for you to experience God's transformation? Or maybe another way of saying it is, what are the roadblocks? What are the barriers for God, for you to say yes, like Mary said yes, or for you to open yourself up to this transformational metamorphosis stick activity? The metamorphosis, the metamorpho, that transformation. What are the things? I think sometimes, actually, let's just pause and let's just ask that. Let's just ask that of the Lord. Lord, thank you that your heart is for us, that you love us, that you see us for who we really are, that you see beyond all of the facades and the stuff that gets in our way, the things that we've just picked up from living in a fallen world, and the stuff that we've picked up just from living our lives day to day. You see beyond the stains and the grime. And thank you that you're calling us into a place where we could be sites of transformation for you, where we could be a people that is open to your Spirit. That we could be a people that would diligently seek after you. And that we could, like Paul says, become more and more like you. Lord, I ask now that you would show us what are the ways, the things that are getting in the way of us saying yes to you in this way. Holy Spirit, would you come and just speak? What is saying yes to you, like Mary said yes to you? What does it mean for us today here, for each of us? What are the things that are crowding out space for you? What do we need to empty ourselves of? Could be something that you have to give up. Could be something you need to let go of. Could be something you need to confess. Something you need to repent of? What is it? So we're just going to sit with those questions for a little bit and encourage you to whatever God is bringing to your mind, whatever he's sort of highlighting, to do business with him on those. Confession usually helps if you do it with someone else. And when you're ready, let's just come and we'll celebrate communion together. We're going to do it. Serve the person behind you. Okay? That's how we're going to do it. So if you go up and receive, then make sure you serve someone behind you. And just invite. Let's not lose this time. I think this is a neat time for us to pray for each other. So let's do that, okay? Like really. Let's really. And I don't know if there's anybody that has any sense of anything that God might be saying to us as a whole community. I want to open it up to that too. If you do, just come on up. That's fine. And let's pray for each other, guys, okay? Let's surround each other and care for each other. And if you want to be prayed for, then ask someone.